Good morning, and thank you for tuning into Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri. We're located just northwest of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. We invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings, 9:30 a.m. for Bible study and 10:20 for worship, 4 p.m. in the afternoon for worship, and then Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. I've been dealing with the One True Church in the past weeks, and we noted some major scriptures as we seek to find the truth from our Creator in the New Testament that we are to be following today, that Jesus did build only one church. We read this in Matthew 16:18, where he said himself, "I will build my church." We find in passages like Ephesians 4, 3-6, the seven unities of the Spirit, that there is only one body, and that body is his church, which he is the head of, Colossians 1:18, and Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. We also pointed out that we need to understand that we must examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. It's our responsibility to test ourselves, to prove ourselves, to see that we are in Christ Jesus. If we don't, then we fail to meet the test. That's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. In our study of the one true church we read about in the New Testament, we find that we are looking at next this universality, that it involves all nations. And as we look at this, we want to understand that the commission of its heralds are worldwide. In Matthew 28:18 through 20, a passage you're probably familiar with says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" We see also its scope, which involves every race, color, and tongue. In Mark 16:15 and 16, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." We also see that its invitation is to all mankind. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, the inspired writer there says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price." We also notice that its duration is age-lasting. This church is something that Jesus set up to endure through the ages until he comes back again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read verses 23 through 28. "But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet." But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is excepted who put all things in subjection under him. "When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all." Next we see concerning the universality of the church that its fellowship is for the obedient, not everyone can get into this body that Christ established, only the obedient. In 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 through 10, we read, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." The next thing I'd like to note is that its benefits of this one true church are eternal. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 we read, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Again in Revelation chapter 22 verses 1 and 2. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Question I have for you concerning this facet of that one true church is this, dear listener. Is your church universal in time and membership? We have so many people telling us today that, you know, what you read in the Bible, that was really written for people almost 2,000 years ago, and that really doesn't apply to us today. And, you know, things have changed and it's not the same, but that's not what these scriptures are telling us. The truth that God brought to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, still stand on solid ground, still are true today. And so as we examine the church that we may be a part of and the churches around us in the world today and compare them with that church that we read about in the New Testament, we have to ask these questions concerning the principles that underlie what makes that organization function and how it functions. The next thing I'd like to note with you today is its message. The message of that one true church that you'll read about in the New Testament is only one message, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is very important to understand. The gospel, the word gospel, means good tidings, glad tidings. It involves all of what Jesus brought to us that we find within the pages of the New Covenant, the New Testament. And a lot of people don't like this. They want to just keep the word gospel just to the basic facts of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, that's the core of the gospel. But the good tidings involve all of the New Testament, also called the New Covenant, and the law of Christ, the royal law, the perfect law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. These are terms you find in your New Testament concerning what Jesus brought to us and what we're actually going to be judged by in the last day. So let's look at some of the facts to believe. Let's start with the death of Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's first read the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 15. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. The next fact that we see to believe is the burial of Christ. In the same context, looking at verse 4, he continues concerning Christ, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And so that shows the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the evidences. So again, let's read verse 4 and then go on down through verse 8 or 9. It says that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So these are the basic facts, the core of the gospel. We also see that within the gospel are all the commands involved that we are to obey in order to reach the blood of Christ, in order to have our sins washed away, in order to be accepted by our Creator on His terms. That is also part of the gospel. And so we see that we must believe in Christ as the Messiah of Jehovah God. And so in Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Acts 16 and verse 31 says, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. But we're not saved just on faith only, or just simply on believing, because that's not where Jesus taught that we reached the blood of His blood, that we had our sins washed away and forgiven. There's another thing that we need to do after we believe, and that's called repentance. We must repent of our sins. And so we see in Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, it says there, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has fixed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed, and of this He has given assurance to all by raising Him from the dead. So Jesus is going to judge us in the last day. And He is warning us and telling us we all have to repent because we're all sinners. In Acts 2 and verse 38, when those that were listening to Peter and the apostles preach that first complete gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, as is recorded in Acts chapter 2, and they were pricked in their hearts, you know, when they heard what they were preaching, that they had crucified the Messiah. And so in verse 38, after they had asked Peter and the apostles, what shall we do? There's that important question, what do you and I have to do to be saved? Well, they believed the truth here. He knew that they were confessing Christ because He had just told them, you crucified the Christ. So when they said, sirs, what must we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But you weren't saved, they weren't saved, and others weren't saved in the first century after they believed and repented. They had to also confess Christ before men. Jesus Himself said in Matthew 10:32, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 12 and 13, it says there, to fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in His testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. And of course, that's the confession we're talking about, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah of God. I'd like to stop here and pause for a moment, remind you that you are listening to Bible Talk on KFEQ 680 AM, which is presented by the County Line Church of Christ, meeting at the corner of County Line and Miller Road, located just northwest of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. We invite you again to worship with us this morning at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:20 for worship, and then 4 in the afternoon for worship. We also meet Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study, and we welcome you to come to any of these assemblies that we have. If you would like to receive a Bible correspondence course through the mail, please call our phone number and leave your name and address. That phone number is area code 816-279-4737, and we will mail that correspondence course to you in the mail. Again, that's 816-279-4737. If you would like to have a home Bible study with us, just leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. And that, again, is 816-279-4737. Getting back to these things that we must be involved in order to be saved in the sight of God, part of the gospel, as I was saying earlier, involved commands to obey. We've already looked at believing, but we're not saved when we believe. There's no such doctrine in the New Testament of faith only, as many people are being mistaught about today. We have to also repent of our sins. We can't be saved without that. But we also must confess Christ before men. We can't be saved without doing that. But we also must be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, our past sins. As very few people are being taught correctly on this, unfortunately, very few people are going to their Bible and studying what Jesus teaches on any given religious subject. But if you take a concordance, a complete concordance, and you study every word or every scripture that has the word baptized, baptism, baptized in it, and you study what the Holy Spirit teaches about baptism, you're going to find that baptism is essential. It's just as essential as believing, repenting, and confessing Christ. In fact, if we're not baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, our past sins, we can't receive the remission of our sins because our Creator has set it up that way. Let's look at a few passages. You could write these down, of course, and study them on your own later, or you can go to a complete concordance and study all of the scriptures that deal with baptism in the New Testament. In Mark 16:16 again, let's read it again. Jesus says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Again, Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Today people change that and they say, well, if you believe and repent, you're saved, then you can be baptized later. That's not what the inspired Apostle Peter said. He tied the most, is as important to be repent as it is to be baptized, or to be baptized as it is to repent. It's in the same breath. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And notice it says for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, some people will try to get you to believe the word for there means because of. None of the major translations down through the centuries have ever translated it because of, because that's not what it means. Peter meant that you and I, after believing, we must be involved in this repentance and we must be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Just simple as you can read it. Go to Acts 22 and verse 16 with me next. There it says, and now why do you wait, or why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. So here very clearly we see that baptism involves a washing away of our sins. That's what Ananias told Paul to do, or Saul at that time, and Ananias was guided by the Holy Spirit. Again, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. This passage actually states exactly what most people are not being taught today. It says there, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, there's no saving power in the water itself. It's not anything that the water does to the body, and that's shown by saying not as removal of dirt from the body. It's not anything the water is doing, but it's responding to a command that God has given us to do. There were many commands under the law of Moses that his people were to do, and they were supposed to follow those commands explicitly, specifically, to the point, without adding to or taking away from those commands. And so it is today under the law of Christ. Many of the commands are different under the law of Christ. And we do not have to offer animal sacrifices today. But we do offer our sacrifice of obedient service unto our Creator. And this involves believing the truth of the gospel, of whatever it tells us we must be doing. And it involves believing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of Jehovah God. It involves repenting of our sins. It involves confessing Christ before men. And it also involves baptism for the remission of our sins, as these scriptures are telling us. And so, when we read passages like 1 Peter 3:21, and we have to understand that Jesus means what he says and says what he means. And so we've got to understand that. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." That's what the Holy Spirit teaches, dear listener. And that's not what many people are being taught today in the religious arena. Next, we see that there are promises to enjoy if we are faithful and obedient unto death. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6 and verses 17 and 18. Now, once we have properly obeyed the gospel according to the Holy Spirit, and we are added to that church, when we're buried with Christ in baptism, and we come out to walk in newness of life, a new creature in Christ Jesus, as Romans 6, 3 and 4 tell us, if you go on down to verses 17 and 18, listen to these words. "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." Now notice, what's the pivotal turning point of being slaves to sin to becoming slaves of righteousness? That pivotal point, dear listener, is obedience from the heart. And there's only one way we can have proper obedience from the heart, and that is, as that scripture tells us in Romans 6, verses 17 and 18, we have to obey the standard of teaching that we have been committed to, which we were committed. That's the gospel. And that goes back to the first part of the chapter that was specifically talking about baptism, buried with Christ, the old man being crucified, we being raised to walk in newness of life, new creatures in Christ Jesus, as one other passage tells us. I want you to let God's word come into your heart and convict you, to prick that heart of the truth, so that you will turn away from the doctrines and commandments of men and follow only the teachings that are found within the pages of the New Testament. Next, I want you to notice with me, in the time remaining, a few more passages. Turn with me to 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 17. That's 1 Peter 1, 13 through 17. "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that would be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each man's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. That's what the Holy Spirit's telling us. Are we listening? Are we applying? Are we obedient to the Creator? Again, turn to 2 Thessalonians 1:5-12. 2 Thessalonians 1:5-12. This is the evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affection those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 tells us, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested for 10 days, and you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death." And then one last scripture we look at this morning in Revelation chapter 22 and verses 14 and 15. "Blessed are those who wash their robes," or do his commandments, "so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs, and sorcerers, and the sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices a lie or falsehood." And the closing question I have to you is, does your church preach the pure gospel found only in the New Testament? Again, I'll ask that question. Does your church preach the pure gospel found only in the New Testament? That's what we have to ask ourselves and examine the groups that we might be involved in trying to worship the Creator, to make sure that that church is patterning itself after the one true church that we read about in the New Testament. Well, we thank you again for tuning into Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri. Again, we're located just northwest of the New Sharping area, up on the North Belt Highway, County Line Road at the top of the hill. Just turn left there and come down less than a mile. We're at the corner of County Line and Miller Road. We would like to invite you to worship with us. Sunday mornings, 9:30, Bible study, 10:20, worship, and then 4 in the afternoon for worship, and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. We encourage you to tune in again, the Lord willing, next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. For another half hour with you and studying the Bible. And we pray that you will be seeking the truth that we find only in the pages of the New Covenant. God bless you in your search for His truth above all else. And we pray that you'll have a nice day and a nice week. Thank you for listening again, and bye.